Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Good morning and welcome everybody to the Andy Griffin Show here on KDXU. I'm Andy. I have a couple of lovely ladies in the house with me, which I always like it when the room is a little bit better looking than I am. Christina and Amy are here from the St. George Police Department and Records Department, right? Am I right? Is it Records?
Yes, the Records Division.
Okay. We'll maybe have to have you explain what that means. And I mean, everybody, records, we know what records are, but we'll have you explain that a little more. But first, let's get to know you. Let's start over here with Amy. Amy Harward. And you're from where, Amy?
So we're from Utah County.
Okay.
Me and my husband grew up in Orem, and we lived in Pleasant Grove and moved here about 6 years ago.
Okay. Moved for a job or, yeah?
Yep. We had family down here, and then my husband ended up getting a job down here, and we moved here, and we love it. So
yeah? You have kids?
Yeah, we do. We have three kids.
Three kids. All right. Well, I can tell you it's a great place to raise kids. I raised five of them, so... Nice. Let's see. Which high school did you go to up there?
I went to Timpanogos.
Timpanogos. You were a Timberwolf, huh?
Yep. And my husband was the first graduating class there. So.
Really? Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. Years ago, I went to West Jordan, but my freshman year, I went to Bingham, and then they made West Jordan. It was a brand new school when I was there. I was the first sophomore class at West Jordan. In fact, all the seniors and juniors, if they wanted to, could stay at the old school. Now, I was a football player. All the juniors and seniors stayed at Bingham because they wanted to be on a good football team. And so I was starting both ways as a sophomore. It was not pretty. I mean, here I am, you know how 14, 15-year-old is versus these 18-year-old guys. They had full beards and, I don't know. It was crazy. Anyway, well, welcome to the show, Amy. Appreciate
you
being here.
Good to be here.
Christina, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi. So I have been in St. George for about 10 years. Worked for the police department the entire 10 years. Came from Albuquerque, New Mexico with my family.
Nice. Now, I learned something about Albuquerque, by the way, recently. I always thought Albuquerque was hot, dry, deserty. Albuquerque's actually up in the mountains, isn't it? It's pretty high altitude.
It is. It's about 5,000 up there.
Okay.
So, yeah, we have snow, more snow than here in St. George.
Yeah, people don't even think about that. I think Albuquerque, we're thinking like Phoenix or like, Las Cruces. Or, yeah. I don't know. But anyway, Albuquerque is actually kind of almost a Four Seasons type town.
Yeah, it's definitely hotter here. I think it gets a lot more wind and rain and 90s out in the 90s. So, yeah.
Nice. And what brought you here? Was it the work?
Yes, we wanted to... My husband retired. He was with the police department in Albuquerque, so we wanted to move somewhere good for our kids. So,
nice. Yeah. How many kids do you have?
I've got two daughters, and he's got two sons. So.
Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. Full household, huh?
Yes.
Are they all still at home?
No, they're all adults.
Oh, they're grown-ups now. Okay.
My baby's a senior, so.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Empty nesters. It's kind of nice. We can tell Amy, when they move out, you don't have to go to any more concerts. There's no more. I mean, it's a sad thing, too. You're not going to all these things. But it's also kind of nice, End of the day, you get off of work and you go home and you're like, hey, I don't have to do anything here. This is kind of cool. Right? Am I right, Christina?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we've got a couple dogs to keep us busy. So, it's nice.
You don't have to go to the dogs' ball games or anything like that, though.
No.
So, well, welcome again. We've got both of the Amy and Christina work for the St. George Police Department in the Records Department. Now, can you shed a little light to us on what that means? What is it you guys do?
So I would say the first thing that we do is customer service. Okay. Anybody that comes into the police department, they're going to be talking to someone that's in our department.
Okay.
So we help direct people, like they'll ask us questions. We help direct them where they need to go, how to get in touch with officers, how to report things. And then obviously members of the community will request records through our department.
The grandma, right? The grandma request?
Grandma request. And not like
you get a lot of
not
those?
Like your old grandma.
All right.
Yeah.
No.
We're at about 600 a month.
So, a month?
Yeah. We're at about 5,000
for the
year.
That's like 200 a day. Or more.
It is.
That's
quite
a lot
of. Yeah.
Who are they coming? Who are all these coming from?
So they come from the media. They come from the public. I mean, they can come from even up north or different, different areas. But just depending on what they're looking for. Sometimes we have the high profile cases where we get multiple requests from the media for that case. Hmm.
So when you say the media, I've never filed a grandma request personally. I was a sports writer most of my career. We don't really have a need for that, but, it could be from, you know, the St. George News. It could have been, I guess, the Spectrum was a big one for a long time. I don't know if they do that much anymore. TV stations from Salt Lake, radio stations here in town. I guess you throw all those in together and you're getting some every day, huh?
Yep. That and then even, everyday citizens here in St. George that want a copy of their record of an accident they were involved in.
Now, what rights would they have if they're not directly involved in the case? Say it was my cousin got arrested. I wanted to report it. Would I be entitled to that?
You could be. So all the records that we house are public, but we protect private information. So if you are not directly involved, we would withhold sensitive information like dates of birth, social security number, even information that could interfere with the investigation. It just depends on the status of the case and where it's at right now.
Now, we had just 2 days ago a shooting over there off Sunset involving St. George Police Department and someone breaking the law. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about, where you're going to get requests from all kinds of media groups saying, I want to know more about this. What do you have?
Possibly. Yeah, mm-hmm. Possibly we could. We'll definitely get requests from local media.
Mm-hmm.
And then attorneys, other people involved, business owners that might have damage to their business. So they come from multiple parts of the report.
Okay. All right. And then you mentioned, one of you mentioned like traffic accidents. So someone wants to see what the police report is, I guess, is what they're looking for, right, Amy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of the time when people are requesting records for accidents, it's because their insurance needs them to provide information
insurance.
Regarding that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, most of it is for the civil side of it, where the insurances need to find who's at fault. Because the officers don't determine fault in accidents in Utah, what they do is they determine if there were any traffic violations and they address those.
Oh.
But it's up to the insurance companies to decide who's at fault.
So even a simple case like, I guess the most common accident is the simple rear, you know, fender bend to the rear ender, right?
Mm-hmm.
The police might issue a citation following too close,
mm-hmm.
or improper outlook or something like that. But they are not going to say this accident happened because that person did that. That's up to, I guess, the insurance companies or whoever to figure out that. Out exactly, huh?
Yeah, typically an officer will cite whoever was involved or caused the crash, and so that is an indication to help the insurance company as to who's at fault.
I was, this has been a few years now, but I was riding my motorcycle up a road and a guy, I guess, never saw me, turned right in front of me, which is a very common accident, mm-hmm. people not seeing motorcycles and caused a crash. Unfortunately, everybody's okay for the most part. But the officer gave that guy a ticket. He certainly deserved one. I was just minding my own business. Yeah, the thing that was hard for me to understand is I'm a big guy, 6'5", 300 pounds. My motorcycle, it was a huge 860-pound motorcycle. My wife was on the back, and she was 110 pounds, which she's not exactly that, but it's somewhere in the neighborhood. So we're talking over 1,000, 1,200 pounds or whatever of stuff coming at this guy, and he said, oh, I didn't see you. I was like, really? So that would be the kind of thing that his insurance company would request. Maybe mine would too, I guess, request the actual police report on that.
Yeah, sometimes they'll request the report. They'll request a copy of the citation. We get a lot of requests for body camera.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's a new thing, huh? And you guys are in charge of all that video then too?
Yeah, so we also review, I want to say it was 6,000 minutes of body cam. So, yep, anything that an officer responds to, they have their body cam on, and there's a record of that.
Okay. So if someone requests, body cam, right, of an incident that happened. Obviously, there's some sensitive information on there. Who determines how much they can see and what they can see? Is it, do you guys have a specific set of rules that you go by, or how does that work?
Yeah, so that actually is what GRAMA stands for, is the Government Records Access Management and Management Act. Okay. And it's a set of laws that the legislature in Utah has passed that says what is public information, what is private information, what's protected, and what's controlled.
Okay.
And anything that doesn't fall into those, like the private, protected, or controlled, is public. So
is it very specific then? Does it tell you they can see this, they cannot see this? Or
some parts are very specific.
Okay.
For instance, one of the laws says that we can't release phone numbers or addresses. But then there's others that are a little bit more gray.
I hate gray.
Yeah. And so we, with our legal department, kind of determine what those mean and how we're going to respond to with certain information.
So in those gray areas, there's really, I mean, the very definition of gray area, it's not cut and dried. You have right. to actually get with, I don't know, the city attorney or whatever, the legal department, and say, okay, what can we give them? They want everything. We can't obviously give them everything. What can we give them? What can't we give them?
Yeah. And a lot of those situations are, a lot of those situations are based on, past reports that could have been, that we've already looked at and determined, okay, this, in this arrest, providing details on the court case could interfere with the upcoming trial and sway the jury, so we can't release those details. So it does get a little more defined as with the more experience that you get.
It seems like that's an awful tough job for you to try to, you know, I mean, we're talking about every second of every body cam video, and you guys have to determine if this is okay for the insurance company to see, for the maybe the victim, maybe the perpetrator's lawyer, whatever. I mean, that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and I would say, so I've been working in records for the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. Most information, I would say, is public. I don't know if you would agree with that, Christina, but a lot of information is actually public. Mm-hmm. Anyone that requests it, even if they weren't involved, they might be able to get that information.
Okay.
So it just depends on the case. It depends on if it's an active investigation, and so forth. Some different factors. So,
yeah, if there is an arrest made, usually the booking information and everything in the PC statement, which an officer types up in each arrest, is public. So we will review that and see what is relatable in the police report to see what we can release. But there are times, yeah, where we have to check with legal department and see, is this going to, you know, interfere with the investigation? Could it also, you know, pose a threat to any of the people involved in the case? So there's lots of different aspects to reviewing and seeing what can be released outside of the typical private and protected information.
Okay, let's go back. So smaller incidents, you know, okay, it's pretty cut and dried, right? But what about bigger incidents? Let's go back to, say, let's go a couple of years back to the guy that took the kid, was driving around. He was in Washington and St. George. He ended up in Arizona, I think, eventually. And a St. George sniper eventually had to end the situation, tragically, the way it ended, but not tragically, unfortunately. The only one that got killed was the perpetrator. But there had to be, in that incident, from your guys' perspective, so many reports and videos and all this stuff that you guys had to sort through. How did that work on your end?
Well, that was one of the high profile cases where we got requests from
a lot of them. Yeah,
yeah, nationwide. So we worked with our legal department a lot on what we could release at that time, and for the most part, for the first couple weeks, we couldn't release any body cam. We couldn't release any of those details until that case had gone to court. So there was a drone in that incident where we've released that footage to quite a few media entities. And so now at this point, we can release everything that we've already released in the past. But there was, yeah, there were a lot of details. There was a lot of work going into the redaction to make sure, okay, we can't release the juvenile's image.
Right.
So that's what they wanted is...
The kid was like 2 or 3 years old. Yeah, really.
Exactly. Yeah. So there was a lot of work put into blurring out the child's face, but also protecting any graphic images that were involved.
So do you guys, when you say the blur, do you actually have to get the video and blur it?
Yeah,
I mean,
blur.
That's part of your job.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, we've got some pretty good software that helps us be efficient. But yes, manual work still needs to go into every second of the redaction.
Now, how much is there done to protect the officers as far as, I mean, you have undercover officers, you have officers, you have detectives. I mean, do you mm-hmm. try to keep a lot of the names hidden of the officers involved? Or are you supposed to? Or how does that work?
If it's a case that involves undercover officers, we are required to withhold their information. But a lot of the incidents, you know, patrol is, their names are usually public. We obviously want to make sure that we're protecting any of their personal information and not releasing their address, personal cell phone numbers. So we'll look at all of that information and see. But the arresting officer's name is usually public and provided.
Okay. When the records come in, the reports, I guess, Tiffany knows all about reports. You could write one all the time, right, Tiffany? Mm-hmm. When the reports come in, how do they get to you? And then how, I mean, where do you have like inbox and then, okay, this goes here and this goes here? Or how does that all work, Amy?
So we have an electronic system that houses all of our records.
So it's not a paper trail as much anymore, but an electronic
trail?
Yeah,
and there are documents that mm-hmm. are going to be paper, but, like, reports are all done through our electronic system. So, it makes it easier for us when we're going through and needing to review records. We're not having to decipher, someone's handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
We're at least not, you know, that far behind the times, so...
How does new technology, for instance, I mean, AI is all the talk right now. Does that affect what you do at all?
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Okay, in what way?
Yeah, so officers' body cams, definitely, like our redaction programs and things like that, use AI to help us make redactions.
Oh, nice.
It can recognize faces. It can recognize, like, moving objects and things like that. So that helps us a lot on our end. I know that our body cams just got an upgrade where it can help translate. So it uses AI to help translate.
Like another
right
language?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm not sure how many languages, but Tiffany might know more about that. But
yeah.
That is really cool. I would like to, I've heard that you can, nowadays, you can actually buy something and put it in your ear. If you're going to a foreign country, it will translate in real time when someone's speaking to you in another language. I'm like, yeah, that sounds cool.
It's very similar to that. And we've tested it with some of our employees that speak Spanish, and they're like, this is very, very accurate.
Really?
So the officers press the button on their body cam, it'll start, you know, translating what the person is saying, dictate it back, and then translate it to the person as well, what the officer is saying. So
that is really cool.
Yeah.
I might actually could do a job like that if I got a little right? help from AI, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be really neat. Okay, so you said you've been here 6 years, but mm-hmm. how long have you been in records? Is just the six
it's
years?
It's been 6 years, oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, what about you, Christina?
I've been with records for 10 years now.
10 years, okay.
Started out in dispatch, actually, for a few months.
Really?
And then found records was more my...
Well, we've had the dispatch people on here, and they've said a lot of things. One, you've got to be able to be cool under pressure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as much in records department, as much pressure.
No, not so much. You actually have the opportunity to walk away from your desk and... You know, go vent or scream or.
Wow. Now, we were talking about that high profile case earlier about the shooting out in the desert. Did you get, when you were talking about grandma requests and everything, was it from like, I mean, it seemed like anymore there's like 1,000 different streaming channels out there. Did you get requests from all these different things you hadn't even heard of?
Yeah,
stations and networks.
Yeah. YouTube channels that there's some YouTube channels if people want to request it and throw it up there.
Well, and with grandma, you don't have to explain really what you're going to do with the records.
Really?
Like anybody could make a request. Yeah. You could come in and say, hey, I want to know what happened during this. And we would be able to provide you the public record. So we even had people that gave us, you know, the information to make a request, their name, their contact information. But we didn't know, like, if they were YouTubers or not.
Oh, I see.
So,
okay. Yeah. It costs money, though, right? Somebody's got to pay for all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, especially for a large amount of body cam. We charge hourly for staff time. So that can, I mean, something like that could easily run up to $600-$700.
So you got to really want it, right?
I mean, yes.
You don't have Joe Blow coming in off the street saying, hey, I want that camera footage right there. Well, okay, but it's going to cost you. Right, so
yeah.
you got to figure out a way to make money on it if you're going to spend that much.
Yeah.
So, okay, that makes sense. Cool. We're talking with Amy and Christina from the Records Department, St. George Police Department. Tiffany's here too. She doesn't have a microphone right now, but we might have to get her one here in a minute. She's like, "No, I don't want to." No, but we'll get it her going a little bit later too. You're going to hang around, Tiffany?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Everybody knows Tiffany because she is a online star now with their Traffic Tuesdays every week. So it's good to have you here. Tiffany came screaming in here. No, she didn't really. She came in very quiet. But we're talking again with Amy and Christina from Records Department. It sounds, I mean, when you first say, well, they're from Records Department, it kind of sounds like, oh, this is going to be kind of boring because they're just, but you guys, there's so much involved with that. It's really fascinating to me, especially when you started getting into body cam stuff and all. I mean, the job has clearly changed, even just in the 6 years you've been here, right, Amy?
Yeah, it has. We've upgraded our body cam redaction, how we're doing our redactions, our software, and that is like an ongoing process as that company keeps upgrading the possibilities. So,
And we also get a lot of requests for the dispatch records. So we work in.
Oh, they want to hear like the audio transcript of when they 911 call.
Yeah, 911 calls. That a lot of that can be public depending on who's requesting it. But we provide dispatch calls for the entire county. So it can be something that happened in Santa Clara that came into dispatch that we may need to redact and release. So.
Some of those are very compelling, too. Some of those 911 calls are, you know, I mean, obviously, if you're calling 911, there's something pretty traumatic happening in your life at that moment. And so, generally speaking, do you have to redact a lot from 911 calls? I mean, obviously, they're given their address, and you have to redact that. But most of what's going on can be left in, can it?
Yeah, I think we redact probably more from body cam because you have the images of juveniles, whereas if it's a call in from a juvenile, we just have to take their name out. But what they're seeing, really, the reporting of whatever is going on, the crime, that's usually public. So.
All right. Well, let's get a commercial break in. We'll check weather and see if we can find a microphone for Tiffany, too, while we're here. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. For a second, we're going to get Tiffany Mitchell. And Tiffany's like, no, I'm here to observe, not to talk. But Tiffany's always good at talking if
you
I ask her.
You've still got my arm bent behind my back, twisting it. So
I have known Tiffany. How long have you been the PIO?
7 years.
Yeah.
A long time.
I've been doing the show 6 years. So you've been my person the whole time. When I first got here, Mike McGarry hosted before me. He said, yeah, the PIO is so-and-so. And I was like, okay. And then you came in and I think he was confused, but I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
You had a different last name back then, though.
Yep.
And it took me like a year to get your
correct last
name.
Yep, it did, but you got it, so we're good. It's Mitchell, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you, I report on the news today, they released the name of the shooter from Sunday, Jesus Salcido Felix is his name. Can you tell us any more about what happened there?
Well, we know that they were at the same location at the same time. They know one another. They've obviously got an issue going on between the two of them. They had an argument in the parking lot, and that's where the shooting occurred.
Okay. And were they both Hispanic?
I don't know the answer to that.
All right. I just wondered if they, you know, maybe met each other through some social means or whatever, and then all of a sudden they didn't like each other.
They've had dealings in the past, and so they're very aware of one another. Yes.
Now, the big deal here is if they get in a fist fight, there's some assault, there's some things in there, but
sure,
a gun was pulled and a man was shot,
right,
which that elevates everything. And now I'm assuming, I don't know, I haven't looked at the charges yet, but it's got to be maybe attempted murder type.
So he wasn't charged with attempted murder, and I don't have the answer as to why. My guess, and you know what guesses are or assumptions are, is that there may not have been the intent there. Now, that's my guess.
We'll
as to why. So for whatever reason, that was not one of the charges, but thankfully no one else was hurt. It's a parking complex with a lot of businesses. I go there often. I mean, lots of us gone there with our families. And so luckily, yet again, we only had the people involved that were hurt this time.
And the suspect turned himself in? Is that, or did
no,
you have,
we, no, we located the suspect and took him into custody.
Okay, so you had to go get him.
He actually fled the scene, but we found him shortly after.
Nice. Well, great job, St. George Police Department.
Yeah,
appreciate
thank
it.
You. You bet.
So, I guess you had to approach it pretty carefully because he's armed and dangerous.
Yeah.
Situation.
Yeah. So. When we have those kinds of situations, we have what we call a threat assessment that we go through that has some questions to whether how dangerous the situation could be, and based on that, you know, we get SWAT involved because they train for these kinds of things, and so if we feel like that it's dangerous enough, we'll always slow down and get the right people there that do the job.
And it's got to be extra sensitive on everyone's minds considering what happened in northern Utah 100% last week.
We're all prepping to leave tomorrow for those funerals, and so it's always hard when someone in our community gets hurt for nonsense. You're not getting along, so you pull a gun.
I will say this, growing up, there was a guy, an actor named Eric Estrada, who played a motorcycle cop.
Yeah.
One of the officers that was killed up in Tremont, his name was Eric Estrada.
Right.
The actor Eric Estrada actually reached out and said, this guy is the real hero.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that he was.
Because they called him the nickname of the actor.
Ponce. Yeah, Ponce.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I think that he went by that, which I think is fantastic
that, is really
that he's
cool.
being remembered that way.
And I think the actor, Eric Estrada, handled it very well, saying, look, I was just an actor who played a police officer.
I know.
I wasn't a real police officer.
Yeah, it's pretty cool deal. Cool. Yeah.
All right. Well, Tiffany, thanks for taking a minute.
You're welcome. Happy to be here.
With us, and
I'll turn it over to the experts on records.
Let you swing that microphone back over to Christina. And again, Amy and Christina from the records department at St. George Police Department. And now tell us about the relationship. You mentioned dispatch. You could maybe say, okay, we're only deal with body cams from St. George police officers or whatever. But with dispatch, because St. George Police Department runs dispatch for the entire county, you guys get stuff. It might be in New Harmony or in Springdale or, you know, over there in Hurricane. I mean, you get stuff from all over, I guess. Is that present some special challenges because you don't have all the information you need from that? You only have the 911 calls or what?
Yeah, we have a process that we do need to check with those agencies and make sure, hey, is this okay to release? Is there any information?
Into, I'm guessing you had no idea 6 years ago that you were going to be seeing everything that you have seen in the last 6 years.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, when I took the job, I was actually entering back into the workforce after not working for 12 years and raising my kids. I was like, okay, I can do this. I'm a good learner. I can do this job, but I've actually learned to really love it. And the people that work in our department really care about the people that we're serving and the people that we work with. And we're glad to be there as support staff for the officers.
I had to, just on a side note, I had an ER nurse on the show once. And you said, you know, as an ER nurse, you pretty much, you see it all, right, as an ER nurse. But apparently her kid had hit his head and the blood was coming out of his head. And she said, I was the worst. Here I am this trained to treat this exact thing. But I was freaking out because it was my kid and it was his blood and I didn't know what to do. And I'm wondering if if you have personal incidents that happen in your life and you're like, oh, I see stuff like that all the time. Or do you go, okay, this is different now because this is me?
Yeah, my daughter was in an accident. She was hit by a vehicle on her scooter.
Oh, man.
In the beginning of the year. And then seeing those photos was like, oh, my gosh. But then, you know, we see those photos all the time at work, and it's a totally different aspect. you don't take it. You know, as it's still hard to see, but you have the ability to separate yourself from the situation. So it's not as difficult.
Well, it's a little more personal. It kind of changes things, doesn't it? Now, I'm told, and confirm to me if this is true or not, your duty is, for when you see these things or you get these whatever it is, your duty, first of all, you need to do your job. That's the first thought. But then maybe later on, you have to kind of decompress, right, and process what it is you were a part of and what you saw. I know some people that, like, they put it in a little box and they don't deal with it until the job is done, and then they open the box later. Some people, sadly, never open the box until it's so full that then they have a mental crisis. How do you guys deal with that kind of thing?
Well, we're fortunate to have a department that cares, and so they actually require us to check in annually and to kind of see where we're at. And that kind of opens a box to say, okay, is this something that's really bothering me? Do I need to keep seeing somebody and talking about it? Or, you know, but it gives you the option to have it evaluated and just check in, see, because you're right. Sometimes it's bothering you. You hold it in. You don't really know that it's bothering you. So that's a really good way to open it up and check in on everybody.
What do you think, Amy? Same kind of thing?
Yeah. And what's great as well about the program is that it's all covered by the city. The employees are not required to pay for the visits that they go to, and they have so many that they can use per year. So it's really helpful. And then, I think honestly, just having a really, positive, friendly work environment really, really helps a lot. We have a wonderful work environment where everybody cares about one another, and we're all there to support each other.
All right, I've got a couple of texts we're going to get to, and I need to get a commercial break in right now. I want you to think about this question, though, before we go to break, and then we'll talk about it when we come back. Is there a case or two, 6 years for you, 10 years for you, you look back on it, you think about it a lot. It's still there. You're still like, oh, man, what about that? Whatever happened with, or whatever. We'll get Amy and Christina's thoughts on that when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. This is the Andy Griffin Show. I've only got about 9 or 10 minutes left, but we're here with Amy and Christina from the Records Department, St. George Police. And again, you say record. Okay, this is boring. It's dealing with paperwork, but you guys have kind of fascinating some of the stuff that you guys I would say have to kind of deal with on a daily basis. Let's take an incident like what happened on Sunday with the shooting on Sunday. What records, what would come in, Amy, on a typical case like that? Do you get a police report, you get body cam, is there other stuff too that I'm forgetting about?
Yeah, there could be witness statements if anyone was around that witnessed that. That's a typical one that we get for things like that. We would obviously have like the dispatch call, and it really just kind of depends like what else occurred. We'd have photographs if those were, assuming like if we recovered a weapon, we would probably take photos of that weapon and any shell casings and things like that.
Is there any report written by, say, the paramedics or the ambulance that get the, is there a report there, or are they just worried about saving lives and they don't write a report?
I'm assuming that they write a report. However, we don't have those records.
Okay.
Yeah, we only have the police records.
Okay.
And if the fire department was called out, the fire department records can be requested from the fire department.
Not from you.
They could go through our website because they're part of the city. So any city records could be requested through the City of St. George request online. We would just reach out to those departments to respond to those.
Okay. I don't know that you guys really want to do this too much, but are there a couple of things that kind of have stuck with you, things you still think about maybe years later that you've had to review and go through as a record member? Who wants to go first? I know neither of you wants to go first.
I'll go.
Okay.
Any death case really has been, you know, it hits you hard, but you start to see so many, I think, especially involving children. There's been a couple unfortunate incidents of drownings. We were just talking about one, and listening to the dispatch audio of families calling to, you know, say their child, they're trying to revive them, and that hits hard. And then seeing photos of children hurt or animals, to me, that always hits really hard.
Understandable. Amy, anything come to mind?
Just while you were talking about that, I kind of remembered as well that we had to review the 911 call for the Ruby Frankie case. Because our dispatch center got the call for that.
Severe child abuse, yeah.
And so I had to process that, and it was really hard to listen to the person that was reporting it and how emotional he was getting, and you could tell that it was really serious.
That was one where the kid actually escaped, so to speak, and went to a neighbor, right? And the neighbor is the one that called 911.
Right.
Yeah, unbelievable. Some of those are so traumatic. We were talking earlier about kind of the need to offload some of this stuff, right? Or you have to, right? You can't just. I remember this was a long time ago, but when I was in high school, a girl got up for early morning class and got in the family car and backed over her little. It was 6 a.m. There's no logical reason why this 2 or 3 year old should have been in the driveway, and so she didn't really look and backed over and killed him. She never came back to school. That's how traumatic it was. But if you think, I mean, you guys have to maybe watch or see pictures of that or whatever later on.
There's usually body camera when the officer gets there and is trying to help the family member, revive the child or the family member. And so, seeing that and then having to not just watch it, it's like play, pause, so that you can redact everything that needs to remove, everything that needs to be removed. So, you get a little more exposure watching it slow motion to make sure audio and visual is taken out.
That takes a long time too, right?
It can be, it can be time consuming.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And then, I had a friend who, this is a happy ending, so we don't have to be sad here. His child drowned, so to speak, but they were able to then revive the child. He was in the, little 3 year old or whatever, in the pool, drowned, but they were able to then revive him. And this kid is now a teenager, seems to be, there was no brain damage or anything, so they must have caught him pretty quickly. Because we know once you stop breathing after a few minutes, that even if you get the body back, the brain is never.
Those are always good to see. And, if there's a happy ending where, unfortunately, we don't get a lot of the closure, but the long-term results of what happened, but. Yeah, those are always good to see.
You don't get to be there for the debriefing.
No.
When they, that's kind of sad. I guess I can't have everybody there at the debriefing. The dispatch folks were telling me they actually a lot of times get to go in there when there's a resolution as to what exactly happened. They actually get to be there at the ending, which I know a couple of them said, this is really big for us. This is important because we're there right when it starts.
Right.
And to be able to find out in the ending that everything was okay or whatever is pretty big for them.
Yeah.
All right. So how many people are in the records department?
Yeah, we have a total of eight.
Did you guys draw the short straws, by the way, of all those people? How many? There's eight?
Yeah, we kind of did, right?
I think Christina asked me because she knew
I've only told Amy, so.
That's happened to me before. Yeah,
we have a total of 11 full staffed, including myself, but we are short one right now, so 10 full-time and 2 part-time.
Okay, and you short one, does that mean you are accepting applications if someone wants to?
We just selected a candidate.
Oh, you did?
She's
okay.
Going through background. So hopefully within the next few weeks we'll have that position filled.
Have you, I guess you, when someone new comes along, do you explain to them that this isn't just, filing papers? There's a little more involved in that.
Yeah, we have the information in our job description just to make sure we're kind of prepping them in advance.
Okay, because Amy said she had no idea it was what it was when she started.
I probably read half of the job description and was like, okay, I don't know what that means, but I'll learn.
Thank you.
Nice. Were you like that too, Christina? When you first took the job, was that something that you were like, looks relatively straightforward. Did you not maybe not realize how...
I mean, I was coming from dispatch. I was all the hours, so I was like, I'll do whatever I need to do.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't have to stay up all night and try to save someone's life on the phone.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. Well, we got about 2 minutes left. Is there anything else about records we should know that maybe we don't understand yet? Because, like I said, the first reaction is, it seems kind of like a boring job, but it's not a boring job, is it?
No, it's never got its ups and downs. And
yeah. It's never boring. Every day is different.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want to emphasize that our main purpose is to help people get the records that they're entitled to.
Mm.
So we're here to help the citizens, help the media get the information that they're entitled to. We're not trying to hold back information.
Yeah, we want to be as transparent as possible.
Yep, even if it makes people look bad, you know, sometimes. Yeah. So that's not our goal, is to hide information. It's to release as much information as we can.
And there's probably people out there, and I know my wife works for Washington City, but I know there are people out there that, well, I want more. But you guys are, by law, there are certain things you just can't release. And as frustrated and angry as someone might get, you're like, sorry, I can't. I would love to, but I cannot, period.
Yeah, and there's an option for everybody who gets denied information to appeal it with the city manager. So there are other options if you don't agree with our redactions that you can appeal it and have the legal department review it and decide if it's something that was legitimately withheld.
How has, and we only have a minute left, but real quick answer, how has this job changed in the last couple of years with the explosive growth we've had? Has it gotten harder, or do you just need more people and there's more stuff?
Yeah, definitely an increase in requests. We've gone from just, you know, maybe 600 written reports that we have to redact to 6,000 minutes of body cam. So definitely an increase in requests.
And what was that number again, Christina? How many per month do you guys get grammar requests?
600. An estimated amount of 600. And then...
That blows my mind. Wow.
6,000 minutes of body cam is our monthly average.
Unbelievable. Well, you guys are doing a fantastic job. We really appreciate you. And you did a great job today on the radio, too. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Be back tomorrow. This is the Andy Griffin Show, here every day at 9 o'clock. We'll talk to you then.